The next topic is royalties. You guys have mentioned, I mean, you were saying that you were SAMRA registered. So maybe if you guys could talk to me about what are royalties and so, how that works.
So maybe let me open it because then please. I can then open it further to the actual creatives. When you create a musical work or a piece, it's a commercial creation, so to say. It must make money or it should make money. Or ideally, you wanted to make money. When you make money, what is that money called? So in the music industry, that money comes in the form of royalties. Although in your case, it will be money generated from gigs and events and all of that. So when we look at specifically royalties, it can take different forms. And we've got different structures that assist a creator of a copyright to commercially exploit. So you spoke about exploitation, but the actual exploitation is a commercial exploitation, because once it's done, what do we do with this piece? So your label, first and foremost, would be the one collecting on your behalf the royalty that would come from the streams, what you explained about Spotify, Apple Music. But there's also other revenues that you generate from Sampra, Samro, Capasso, Rev. And in summary, those would relate to without specifically going into details on each on what each collection agency does, so you would have when your music is played on TV broadcast, there's a royalty that's due to you. When your music is streamed, there's a royalty that's due to you. When your music is synced into ads, production, whether it's a movie or a Netflix series, one of those, there's money that you're generating as the owner of that piece of work. So when we create music, we don't create it for fun. It's a commercial tool that feeds children and put them through school. Yeah.
What he said.
I mean, practically speaking, do you regularly receive royalties?
Yeah, I do. Dependent on the song, of course. Okay. So, the one song that I receive most royalties from, I released with the label in Italy. And because it's an international label, we don't necessarily go through Sampro and Sampra to receive the royalties, because we work through distributors. So like Labelworks, Digital, Paradise Digital, Ditto, these are all overseas distributors that sign on or take on labels, and then they basically take all the royalties for the label and then sends it to the label. And then that way the label sends it to me. So that way I feel it's a lot safer, considering that it doesn't have to go through the government or through any private sector of government. It's all private sector based. And the contracts can be based on how the label determines or the distributors. So normally your distributor will be like, you need to hit like $100 in order for you to receive whatever royalties they are. You either get your royalties three times a year. Every trimester. It's a trimester basically. Okay. So it'll be like March, then August, and then December. Mm-hmm. But through those tracking times, they'll see, has your royalties hit a certain amount? If so, what is the amount being paid out to?
And can I ask, do you ever get approached by the South Africans, the Samras, the Capassos, to prove, you know, they say they want to see?
Yes. So basically you get a statement from the label that you're with. And from there, it shows you a breakdown of all the royalties that have come through to you, whether it's via digital streams, purchases, and then you would give that into Sampro, or you have a publisher that tracks everything down. Then they'll go to Sampro and Sampra and then request your royalties.
Sure.
And then you just invoice it from there.
And a well put together agreement with a label should give you an audit right as far as your works are concerned. So every 6 months, or I don't know how others are structured, but we have a 6 month open line to say, within this period, you're more than welcome to come and audit your specific works, see how much you've paid versus how much has been used. However, the trick is always when artists expect a royalty to be paid, but there's no usage of their work. So your music must be in circulation, it must be used, it must be played, it must be broadcast for you to be able to generate the different streams of royalties that are payable.
Okay.
No usage, no pay.
Mm. Right.
Usage, pay. Pay.
How does it work? You'd mentioned, I don't know if it was online or offline, that artists are self-releasing things.
Yes. So using these distribution platforms.
Okay.
So like you can do it on Bandcamp. You can even do it on Spotify yourself. Basically, you have your song ready. You go to Spotify. You're like, I want to become an artist. They give you their distribution plan of how they would share your music. Obviously, as marketing tools outside of that determines how far your song is going to get. Mm. So all the streaming is given exclusive rights to Spotify. You won't.
So I was going to ask, is it exclusively then? You can't do Bandcamp and Spotify.
So if you're on Bandcamp, they are distributed. They allow you to go to a streaming platform. Okay. So a streaming platform is accessed through these distribution platforms. So Spotify isn't necessarily a distribution platform. Mm. It's just for streaming. Mm. But if you go to Ditto or LabelWorks, then they'll give you an option. Would you like your music to be on Apple, Deezer, Spotify, all of these other streaming platforms? Mm. Then you have to either pay a little more or they take away some of your royalties from that. It all depends on your plan. So yeah, it's very helpful when you have an independent label. So we worked with Red Bull during COVID, and the distributors we were working with was Ditto. So Ditto gave us unlimited access for life to, you know, create a label and release music on there. And because of that, we can get our music on all these streaming platforms. If we didn't get the unlimited access, you either pay a certain amount per month for your release, or they have something that Paradise distributors have, where instead of you paying, they'll just take up a small percentage of your royalties that you get, which is very convenient considering, you know, it's all dependent on how much you make on the song.
Sure, so, yeah. I mean, just listening to this kind of discussion, this is why, like, when WIPO releases these World IP Day topics, it's so important, because when I hear you speak about all of this and how it works, and I just think about from my legal practice perspective, I often get the man on the street coming to me saying, Tammy, I made an album, or I made all these songs, or I recorded all of this stuff and I registered with Samra or whoever, and or I signed with a label and it's been 20 years and I've not received a cent, and like they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people out there, I use quote unquote the man on the street people out there, actually know that they've got those kinds of options as well.
So it's not an automatic payout. I think that's another thing that is not being taught to our creators.
You have to find
You must notify your works.
Yes.
So as you create, you notify. Notify, there are specific processes that a Sampra would have, a Capasso would have, so that when your works are being used, the usage matches the notification.
Oh, yeah.
And that will then trigger the payment process. Your banking details must be with these institutions. So when there's money due to you, they don't even have to call you. When they do the distribution cycles, your money comes to you. So what you would find is that some creators don't even know that Samro, Sampra, Capasso exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They just want to create music, which is not a bad thing.
The problem is a lot of people who are making beautiful music don't have access to this kind of knowledge, let's say, you know.
Yes.
Or
yes, but which is why this discussion is so important, because it's educating changing. People.
It's really changing. There are definitely musicians in this country who probably created amazing work and probably died without getting what was properly due to them, right? Mm. Agreed. But I find that the musician of today is woke.
Yeah.
No, but promise you, they're very woke. Yes, we do still need the record labels, because we do a lot, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
We're intense as far as commercializing and making sure that these are properly run businesses.
Mm.
But there's a lot of younger and musicians who are doing very, very well. They're indies.
Yeah.
They follow up on their things, they check on their things, they have access to AI, they have access to Google, they said they do research. By the time they come to you, as a lawyer, they even tell you how it works, which is impressive.
Yeah.
So can I ask the man on the street who comes to you and says, I've received nothing for 20 years. What is your advice then? Is it, there's anything you can do about that?
Look, it's really tough because, and it's, I mean, it's tough both personally and professionally, because a lot of the times there is legal recourse. I mean, you've got an artist who created a work, who's the owner of the work, and in terms of our law, is entitled to be rewarded for other people exploiting his or her work. But now it comes down to, you can't force somebody to do something. So if I go to the party, or if I say to them, go to the party and demand what is rightfully yours, you do that, they're either going to say, okay, sorry, and they're going to pay you the royalties that they should have paid you, or they're not going to do anything. Mm. And when they don't do anything, then you're in the position where the only way you can force them to do something is with a court order.
Yeah, legal
and now
action.
We're talking legal action, which is incredibly lengthy. It's incredibly expensive. I mean, it's my bread and butter. It's what I do on a daily basis. But I don't want people to go to court if they can help it, because it's in no one's interest to spend time and money fighting over money, right?
Yeah.
So, and in the case of the man on the street artist, they don't have the money to fund that kind of litigation. There are avenues to litigate pro bono, or have an attorney act for free or on contingency, which is something that I would offer all the time. The problem is it's risky because you are not guaranteed success in any legal case. I mean, intellectual property, its law itself is such a nuanced, like a specialized area of expertise. You might be sitting before a judge who isn't well versed in that area of the law, and you might get a bad judgment. Yes. And even though I might not charge my client a legal fee to fight that case, if the judge says, sorry, you lose, that person has to pay the other side's legal fees. Mm. And so it's a very dangerous road to be leading somebody down. You've got to get creative with the ways that you try and get justice, right? And sometimes the scenario where you might not get justice from the courts, you can look at other, jungle justice might not be the right terminology, but I guess social media can be a very powerful tool when people have an opinion about something. If they feel that something is either right or wrong, people are going to speak out. And the more people become aware of something, like if a person is saying, listen, this is my music, this is what I made 20 years ago, here's examples of how all of these people have used my music and they've never paid me a cent, not cool. Somebody's going to come and be like, dude, that's not cool. I agree, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And then you've got thousands of people saying how uncool it is. It puts pressure on the people who are in the wrong. And you can get relief that way too. So you've got to get creative in the creative industry in the absence of getting people to actually spend money fighting it.
Yeah, it's like social media mob justice,
yes,
basically.
Yes. The court of public opinion. That's what it's called. You go, if you can't go to the high court, you go to the court of public opinion.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, it's not ideal. It's not like recommended. But as I say, you don't want to lead somebody down the garden path. They may have a really good case, but you can't promise somebody success. And when somebody's already struggling financially because all they want is the money from their works,
literally,
you can't expect them to spend it on litigation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess to wrap up, that then just sort of brings me to, I guess, the last topic, which was, do we feel like our artists and our composers and our performers and our creatives in the music industry are adequately protected? I mean, do you guys, as those people in the industry, do you feel like your rights are protected?
You know, as someone that was, you know, privileged to study and learn some copyright law in business, knowledge is power. And I feel protected because I understand the law. And, you know, when I read through my contracts and I see someone wants exclusivity rights just for my piece of work and not me as an artist, then I'm like, phew, okay, I'm safe because it's just for my music. The minute I see it's for me specifically, 360 deals, lifetime contracts, red flags, they're all red flags. And because I'm aware of that, I know that I'm protected in my knowledge more than I am in the law per se. So I think the best thing artists should do is just educate themselves and understand how the law works in different areas of the world, because in Europe, USA and here, it's not the same. So if you're working in those territories, understand how the law works that side first before going into it, because I mean, USA is a bit rough when it comes to copyright and it's quite scary what they do to the artists there, whereas over here we have a little more leeway and a little more freedom in our copyright laws. So I think as artists we are protected, but we have better protection just by knowing
knowledge,
what we're dealing
knowledge
with
is power.
Definitely.
I've got homework to do. I'm learning so much from this.
But as you say, the artists of today are woke. And I mean, the lawyer in me is always going to say, if anybody is coming to you with a contract, read it, understand it. Don't just sign something because you're like, oh, I made a work and now a record label wants me and I'm going to, like, you really have to know. You've got to vet every document, every piece of paper that is coming to you that you're being asked to sign so that you can fully understand, are you giving away your rights? Are you giving away all your rights or a portion of your rights? Are you giving away all of your royalties, some of your royalties? What percentage? How are they going to be able to use my work? I mean, knowledge is power. So that's my closing statement. Did you have anything you wanted to add on?
I think on that? It's really a short line. What he said is very important. Knowledge is power. When you know, you do better. So I think what our artists should be doing now is strive for knowledge because you will do better.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks, guys. That was great. Thank you, everybody, for your input.
Interesting.
Great chats.
Great chats.
Great chats.
There was no need to be nervous, you see?